Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Vice Admiral Lee Gunn. We're going to talk about what's the greatest threat to our national energy security for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are absolutely delighted to welcome to the program retired Vice Admiral Lee Gunn. He served for 35 years prior to his retirement in the U.S. Navy. He retired in 2000, but he has been extremely busy since then. He is vice chairman of the Chief of Naval Operations Military Advisory Board, and we are delighted to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Let me ask you this right off the bat. What is the greatest threat to our national energy security?
The condition of the grid probably represents the greatest threat. The Military Advisor Board at CNA did an extensive study. We were concerned about the ability of the existing American electrical grid to accept all forms of energy, and we consider it most important that infrastructure investments include the grid and produce for America a more resilient, more reliable, more flexible grid. It does not impede the progress that America is making, Nevada in particular is making, in the deployment of renewable energy.
Now, when I tend to think of the grid, I'm thinking of electricity being passed forward and backward across states and within states. And we have known for a long time that this was not the most secure method. Does this not work with renewables as well?
It does in some circumstances. The problem with some forms of renewable energy, of course, is their intermittency. That is, you know, the wind blows a great deal sometimes and not much other times. It gets dark. The shift from one form of energy to another that's caused during the course of the day, both by the supply and the demand, needs to be met by a flexible grid. With regard to the exposed grid, it's very vulnerable. 361 attacks on the grid in the last 4 years, most of them physical attacks, 14 were cyber attacks. Both forms of attacks on the grid are becoming more frequent, and so it needs to become more resilient and better protected, more easily segmented, too, so that if a piece of it comes down, the whole rest of the shebang doesn't come with it.
So at this point in time, how many areas are there that are separate in terms of making up the national grid? Is it, you know, an eastern, midwestern, western, or is it much more complex than that?
Well, in the terms of its largest subdivisions, there's an eastern grid, a western grid, and a Texas grid. There are points at which they can be connected, but generally they're not. And so in the Northeast, when a major section of it was taken down by a small casualty in Ohio several years ago, the lights were out for a long time. The problem is that the interconnectedness And the design of the grid, we call it the design, but I'd contend that the grid just happened over the last 100 years. But the design is old. The many pieces of the grid are still 100 years old. The Union or the American Association of Civil Engineers estimates that there's a $10 billion a year maintenance requirement just caused by keeping up with where we are right now in this as the grid decays. Our concern on the Military Advisory Board is that if there's a big infrastructure investment, that it must make the grid new in its ability to adapt to new forms of energy and to be more resilient and secure. We can't just buy new stuff that looks just like the old stuff as we renew the grid.
When we think in terms of energy, and I guess this is one of the things that concerns me the most with the cyber attacks, is that, you know, say, for example, the Las Vegas Strip were to be deprived of power. This would be an unbelievable situation in terms of the turmoil it would cause. 150,000 hotel rooms without power, elevators not able to work, gas pumps not able to work. And if you're talking about in the middle of the summer when you're at 110 degrees, this would be a phenomenal disaster.
And regrettably, the scenario you paint is all too possible. A small attack, a relatively small attack on the Metcalf substation just outside Sacramento in 2013, that was an attack which was launched by an unknown number of individuals who fired 17 rifle shots at the substation. They disabled $15 million worth of equipment and darkened Silicon Valley for the majority of a day. And that was just one example. It's sort of similar to the one you portray. Our concern in the Military Advisory Board is that that might have been an exploratory operation by people who have bigger plans for disrupting the grid. And so it's a matter of urgency that we deal with this problem so that Las Vegas, the Strip, is not darkened for a substantial period of time.
All right, let's take a break. More with Vice Admiral Lee Gunn when we come back.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with retired Vice Admiral Lee Gunn. The portrayal you gave us in the last segment, Admiral, is obviously of great concern, but it seems as though the power companies, at least publicly, don't seem to be awake at night worrying about this. How much concern is there within the electrical industry for these kind of attacks and these kind of results?
We see across the country, Sam, that the utilities, who obviously are interested in maintaining security and reliability, are becoming increasingly aware of the dimension of the threats, and in many cases are beginning to share ideas about how to confront them. I think it's important that the conversation that we're having today extend beyond you and me and even the ratepayers of Nevada to include the folks in Carson City who are making key choices right now during the legislative session, the people in the utilities who are serving the ratepayers, and the businesses who are in particular dependent, as you indicated, in Las Vegas on this supply. But the positive thing is, I believe, in answer to your question, that the utilities across the country more and more are understanding the dimension of the problem, are concerned about security as well as reliability, and are recognizing that major investments need to be made to allow them to adapt to new forms of energy and assured electrical supply for ratepayers.
So what should the Governor Sandoval and our legislature should be doing to protect Nevada's grid system and ensure energy security and reliability? Obviously, there, as you know, you were just in Carson City. What should they be doing to address this?
I'm excited, Sam, that they are doing the things that they're doing. There's a package of legislation that's moving forward through the Assembly and the Senate. Governor Sandoval is, I believe, exerting exactly the right kind of leadership on this. The legislature and the governor's office seem very much aligned. And I think that they are having the kind of conversations with Nevada Power, for example, that facilitate the movements that need to take place. This has to be a concerted effort. It's not the province of any one element of government or the citizenry. We all have to take this problem on together. And I see that the legislature, the governor, and the utilities and the businesses in Nevada with the new high-tech industries that Nevada has been able to attract, everything is moving in the right direction. I would just urge them to keep up the momentum, make the most of this legislative session so that the time between this session and the next can be used most profitably in moving us to a new grid able to accept new forms of energy provided by Nevada Power and others.
Well, and that brings up an interesting point, because it seems like we're moving away from a monopoly in the form of NV Energy at both ends of the state. And more and more companies, are asking to not buy their power from NV Energy, but to buy their own renewable power, and are paying vast amounts of money to be removed from NV Energy. The power company has said recently that they are not necessarily in the future going to be the company of last resort. And so as everything is splitting up, it seems that it would be more difficult to make this system secure.
I think, on the contrary, Sam, it's going to be easier to make it more secure. To the extent, in our research at CNA and the Military Advisory Board, we found that the more you generate electricity at locations that are close to the users, the idea of generate it here and use it here in general, the more independence you can establish, and the more mutual support you can provide from one segment to another. One of the real advantages of the advent of renewable energy is that whether it's rooftop solar or wind or geothermal or small modular reactors, nuclear reactors, it gives us the opportunity to position the generators of energy at places that make the most sense for the form of energy that they're producing, and then array around them the users of that energy, whether it's industry or commerce or individual homeowners. And so it turns out that a segmented grid like that, provided that you make some provision for interconnecting them when things go south on you, it makes the whole system far more reliable and far more difficult to attack.
All right. If you wouldn't mind, would you stick around for another segment? We would love to. I have a bunch more questions for you. Would that be okay?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're talking about energy security with Vice Admiral Lee Gunn, retired. He served in the U.S. Navy for 35 years and is the vice chairman of the CNA's Military Advisory Board. I wanted to ask you about storage because it seems to be, or it seems to me rather, that storage is essential for us to be able to get past this concern about attacks, even if we have things on a local basis. Are you comfortable with the strides that, for example, Tesla is making in terms and Panasonic of battery storage?
we can't relax, obviously, Sam, but yes, we're excited about what's happening at Tesla and in the laboratories around the country and development of battery technology. Of course, there exist other forms of energy storage as well, pumped hydro and flywheels and a variety of things like that. But the big breakthroughs, as you indicate, the big breakthroughs in battery technology that are being accomplished right now and are on the immediate horizon will permit us to make almost unlimited use of the kinds of renewable energy that I mentioned before that are intermittent, solar and wind primarily. So that's exciting. I think it's extraordinary that Nevada has put the effort, the successful effort, into attracting Tesla and Switch and other high-tech companies of that sort. So I think that the kinds of technology that America is going to need, that ultimately the world will need, led by America, can be developed, are being developed right there in Nevada. I've made no secret in my two visits there in Nevada that I believe that the state and its people and the energy and the, that is, the human energy and the innovation that I see there, and the conditions that are present in Nevada for the production of renewable energy can provide a template for the rest of the United States to follow. And so I'm talking about Nevada when I go elsewhere in the United States to discuss renewable energy and its importance to the future of our country.
And State Senator Pat Spearman was on the program last week, and she was saying that the whole country is watching Nevada at this point in time.
We're doing our best to make sure that that's true.
You brought up nuclear power in the last segment. Do you see a time, and potentially with this change in administration, where nuclear power will be back on the table in the United States?
We've not spent a lot of time at the Military Advisory Board talking about nuclear power, except to say that we believe that nuclear power remains a part of a balanced portfolio moving forward of energy potential. Obviously, as a retired Navy guy, I believe in nuclear power. I mean, the U.S. Navy has been operating what effectively are small modular nuclear reactors safely, entirely safely, without incident, since 1953 when the USS Nautilus first went to sea and sent the famous message underway on nuclear power. We've we've literally operated hundreds of nuclear reactors. So we believe that the potential remains. With regard to nuclear power generation by at large power stations ashore, the problem, of course, is there are enormous capital costs when you build them. Once they're built, they have a reliable life of 40 or 50 years, and they become fairly inexpensive to operate. We think that it's unlikely that there's going to be a large surge in the United States of construction of large nuclear power plants. We do believe, though, and this is at least in part because of their operational relevance, that small modular reactors have real promise. They can be positioned where they're needed for the users. And in particular, they can be moved forward if there's ground combat to replace large numbers of diesel generators. And if we do that, then they spare us many of the problems associated with having lengthy logistics lines to produce fuel for generators in the forward area. This is a problem we've seen in Afghanistan and Iraq.
And that was going to bring me to my next question, which was what is the role of the U.S. military in energy reliability and security? And this would seem to be one of them right there.
It's very much one of them. Occasionally, the Defense Department is accused of being interested just in science projects and doing things for tree-hugging reasons. Let me assure you and your listeners that we spend absolutely no time in the Defense Department doing things simply for the reasons of renewable energy and distribution and the like. Everything is done with a mission-oriented purpose. What can we do overseas in operations? What can we do in the United States and in those facilities, those thousands of facilities we own, that will make it less expensive, more dependable to generate readiness? So in the process, we've done a lot. Several U.S. Army posts are in the process of reducing their reliance on the grid and on fossil fuels dramatically, and also supporting the communities around them. And overseas, on the what we call the forward edge of the battle area in Afghanistan right now and not too long ago in Iraq, we have done things that are deliberately intended to reduce the vulnerability of our supply lines and the risk to troops who have to manage those supply lines. And so increasingly we've used solar, for example, on the forward edge of the battle area to recharge batteries for troops and to replace generators and the operation of generators at sometimes during the day. So the Defense Department takes its responsibility for providing reliable energy to its troops, to its equipment, very seriously. And so that's the real reason, the real justification for our being involved. And for those of us in Military Advisory Board, we're concerned about being able to sustain these kinds of operations for the future with the most advanced, most reliable, cheapest energy we can provide to our troops.
And that's where we have to leave it. Vice Admiral Lee Gunn, thank you so much for being here. We look forward to having you back on the program again. Thank you, sir.
Sam, thank you very much.
And we'll be right back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
As always, you can listen to Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes. We'll see you on the next broadcast.